at America's one and only Jewish Moments in the Morning radio program, heard on listener-sponsored digital radio around the world, the web at NahumSiegel.com and the Nahum Siegel Network, and of course on the beloved NSN app. Ariel Kahana is with us from Israel, reporter, journalist, commentator, Yisrael Hayom, somebody who's got his finger on the pulse of what's happening in the Holy Land. Ariel Kahana, a pleasure to welcome you back to JM in the AM. Oh, there you are.
Can you hear me?
Yes, now I hear you. Good to have you. That was my fault. Good to have you back and welcome to the show. All right, so there are a few news stories that are happening in Israel, which we are somewhat confused about, and I think you might be able to set us straight and let us know what's going on. Let's start with what happened in the aftermath of Shabbat, this terrible murder of 12 Jews children by Hezbollah in the northern part of Israel, in the Golan Heights. We all expected, I think the whole world expected, a very strong response from Israel. Now, again, we are not there on the spot like you are. Has there been as strong a response as expected, or is there more yet to come?
Of course there will be more to come, Nahum. Actually, nothing happened. I mean, what we saw since the attack on Majd al-Shams on Saturday was just, I would say, the regular bombings that the Air Force is doing all over, or not all over, but mainly in South Lebanon. But we definitely didn't see the big, the serious, the meaningful response that should come. Maybe one should ask, why is it just responding and not, you know, why don't Israel take the initiative when it comes to this front? But at least the cabinet decision is to respond to what Hezbollah did in Majd al-Shams.
And, I mean, again, we're not military experts, but some of us are asking, what are we waiting for? And we ask it also in the context of, we had expected, and not that anybody's, you know, desiring to have a war. We get that. But we were told about a call-up that was happening after Pesach, and that we anticipated that the month of July would be extremely active up north, that in fact Israel would go ahead and proceed and try to take out as much of the enemy as possible. Then this happens on Shabbat, and, you know, still to us, to the average person, it looks like Israel is waiting it out for whatever length of time they plan on doing that. I mean, should we expect some strong military action over the next few days? Is there a way to know what direction the government is going in?
So the direction of the government is again to definitely respond and respond strongly, and it didn't happen. I guess it didn't happen from tactical reasons. I guess they're looking for a good opportunity to hit some seniors commanders in Hezbollah, maybe Nasrallah himself. I don't know. I can just guess that they're looking for a good opportunity. You know, there is no point just to bomb whatever. I don't know, I mean, places with a lot of bombs and so on. I'm sure they have their considerations, and there will be a strong response, no question about that. But if you want to talk about the general picture, Nahum, so I think Israel doesn't want a full war in Lebanon, even after what happened in Shabbat. The Israeli interest, at least the way Netanyahu understands it, is not to open another war front as long as we didn't finish with Gaza, from two reasons. First of all, you can't have them both. I mean, you can, but it could be much difficult to have them both. And secondly, there is an assumption, which in my opinion is correct, that once we end, or at least we limit our activities in the south, in Gaza, then it can be a good, let's call it, excuse for Nasrallah to end his attacks in Lebanon. I mean, sorry, from Lebanon. In other words, when we will move to the next phase in Gaza, maybe we will also, if not ending, at least taking the front in the north to a more limited activity. And that is definitely an Israeli interest. You know, we're not looking for wars. We would generally speaking, Israelis would prefer to avoid wars. If it's necessary to fight, we will fight, of course. But if we can push Hezbollah to the north in Lebanon without a full-scale war, then why not? So that's the second interest why Israel is not moving over there.
Right. It just over the last couple of months, it seemed, based on the way they've prepared and based on the way they've spoken, it just seems that that the Israeli government, let's say Netanyahu in this case, felt it would be necessary. And again, none of us are calling for war and none of us want war. I just based on the way that things have been operating for the last couple of months, it looked like we were heading in that direction. And by the way, Ariel Kahana, I don't know if you said to me or anybody that all this would lead, in fact, to a scaling down of activity in the north once Israel does leave Gaza or whatever, you know, we want to call it. I don't know if leave is the right word. But if you want to call that scaling down, and it will lead to those tens of thousands of Jews being able to go back to their homes in the north, then I think everybody would be pretty satisfied with that. But the whole situation with so many people being displaced until now, I think it leaves everybody in limbo in terms of what direction Israel wants to go in.
So that's a very important point, and definitely the hope by Netanyahu, by others, is that, as you said, once and if the front, the north front, will be more calm, then people will be able to go back to their homes. No one can guarantee it, and I'm sure that many will not come back. But some of the people probably will come back. You know, people want to go home. Now it's almost 10 months now. 10 months, sorry. So I guess people, some of them, at least, by the way, many already came back. Those who can, I think it's about 10% who came back to Kiryat Shmona, if I'm not wrong. So some of the people are coming back very quietly and slowly. Because it's quite, you know, the maids are in hotels and so on, but those right. hotels are like prisons. So people want to go home. Again, although I'm saying maybe there will not be a war in the north, there definitely might be a war. Okay, I'm not sure that Hezbollah will really withdraw. And then actually now he's refusing to do it. Sorry, for the small chances, it will happen. So at least the government is waiting.
Ariel Kahana with us, senior diplomatic correspondent with Israel Hayom in Israel. I have a couple of news stories that need some clarification. I think that, again, because you're there, you can explain it better than the way we're reading about these two episodes. Number one, yesterday we saw a video of the father of a hostage speaking in front of the, I believe it was, the Supreme Court in Israel. And the courtroom was vacated by the judges. There were no judges in the chairs. He was pleading for her help in terms of the hostages in Gaza. Could you explain that episode and what was going on?
So you're talking about Zvika Mol, which his son, as you said, is kidnapped in Gaza. I'm not sure. I mean, I didn't see what he exactly said, so I can't tell you exactly what was his...
Yeah, but this whole scene that he's in the court building and the judges, you know, refuse to sit there to hear what he had to say, do you know what that's all about?
Yeah, I'm not sure they refused. As far as I understand, the discussion has ended. He didn't get the right to talk during the
session.
The discussion. Yes, so therefore he recorded that video after the judges, as you said, left the room. But it's not that they boycotted him. But again, I didn't follow that discussion, so I don't want to tell you what I'm not sure about.
Okay, so it's but we shouldn't take it as if they walked out. We should take it that, you know, for whatever reason, procedurally, he went ahead and made his speech and made his presentation there, so I guess symbolically, but it wasn't an active effort by these judges, as far as you know, to not be there.
Correct. I mean, I don't know that they, you know, boycotted him right. or something like that. But I should say that Zvika Mol, first of all, he's a hero. I don't know if you know, but a few days ago, he joined the Miluim, he joined the reserves forces, while his son is kidnapped in Gaza, and I think he passed away of being a soldier, but he decided to volunteer. And on top of that, his altitude as a father of boy who was kidnapped is very brave. He's not looking at it just from his personal point of view, but also from national point of view. And he keeps keep sending, I would say, strong messages to the government and to the Israeli public. And he's doing that from the first moment. In the beginning, most of the families of the hostages, I would say, were in a different line of pushing the government and pushing Netanyahu to the corner. And these days, it is quite changed. I guess you saw last week Noa Gamani, for example, in Congress and so on. So today, many of the families understand that their interest is not to fight with Netanyahu, but to fight with Hamas,
right,
and push Hamas to the corner.
Okay, the other story I need some clarification about is what happened at this prison yesterday. The way I understood it, this is, you know, where terrorists are being held. There were accusations against some members of the force, I assume, that supervised, right, the Israeli force that supervises the prison, and now there are investigations about them and members of the IDF. Could you explain this story to us?
So I guess you're talking about the Teman base, right?
Yep.
Where all the Nukba terrorists are held. So first, that's a very painful story, and it's a huge debate now while you and I are talking here in Israel. There is a lot of anger by a lot of soldiers and their families and people and politicians and the public because there are someone is saying, he's blaming one terrorist from the Nukba of Hamas. He's saying, at least they say he's saying, that he was even raped or so by the soldiers. Personally, I'm sure it's not true, but that's what he's saying. So because of that suspicious, the chief justice counsel of the army, she decided to send investigators of the army and to take those 9 soldiers of the Miluim, which are volunteers, to take them as if they were criminals to court and to investigate them and maybe to charge them. It's not clear yet. But all the ways, I mean, everybody agrees that, you know, once there is such kind of suspicious, you have to check. But there is one way to check, and there is another way to check without humiliating your soldiers.
Right.
So the anger goes to why do you treat your own soldiers as if they were criminals? Even if they made some mistake, and even if someone said that they didn't behave the way they should be. And again, personally, I'm sure that that event didn't happen. I'm sure about that. But but you have to check, which is well understood. But again, check it while you are respecting your own soldiers. And that didn't happen. So therefore, today you had in the Knesset a very hot debate and a lot of critics. And by the way, the army admitted, Tzal, representative of Tzal in the Knesset admitted that they didn't treat the soldiers as the way they had to. So maybe there is some recognition about the mistakes that was done. But this story is not ended. Actually, it is just beginning, and there's going to be another discussion quite soon. And I think everybody will follow what's going on there. But all of that goes to what happened last year, Nahum, with the judicial reform and the anger and the tense between a lot of Israelis and what is going on in the judicial reform. So it is touching, all of that is touching a very sensitive nerves, I would say, by a lot of people here.
Wow. What was the general reaction to the Netanyahu speech in Congress? What was the reaction in Israel?
So I was on your side last week. I was not here to collect, but I was told that even people who usually, you know, criticize of Netanyahu said it was a good speech, that he knows how to talk, he knows his English, of course, is very good. So the message was, the messaging and the message I understand by people here, in their opinion, was very good. I was there and I saw in my own eyes, you know, 55 times the senators and the congressmen are standing ovation. It was quite amazing. Every second minute, if not more. So it was. I think no one will disagree that he knows how to speak. He knows how to talk. You know, you can critique his moves and his decisions, but how to give a speech. I think he knows that job very well.
Did it help him in the Israeli media, do you think?
No, no,
no difference.
I mean, not in Israeli media. I think in Israeli public it helped him, but I think his numbers are now a little bit better after the speech. But you know, when it comes to the media, so that's a very long story, which you know the sides, and I don't think it's going to change.
And we don't know anything about a hostage deal, right? It hasn't been in the news for a week at this point.
Well, Nahum, I was a little bit more optimistic, or I had the 2 weeks ago, I was thinking there are a little bit more chances it's going to happen. But in the last 24 hours, it looks once again that the deal will not come. But I must tell you, Nahum, look, it's very easy for us to surrender, to give Hamas all what they want. And the main thing they want is for us to stop the war and withdraw the cohort out of Gaza, withdraw the forces out of Gaza.
Yeah.
That would be, in my opinion, a huge mistake. And not in my opinion only, but definitely a lot of soldiers think this way and a lot of ministers think this way, that we should not obligate to stop the war. So, and Netanyahu, and I must say that I appreciate him a lot for that, Netanyahu refuses to stop the war, although there are a lot of pressures by the Americans and others. So as long as this gap is not closed, I don't see a deal coming.
Finally, Ariel Kahana, let's assume that the reports are correct, that the preference in Israel among the people of Israel is that Trump would be the next president here. I'm not sure that's accurate because we get sometimes, you know, a skewed analysis because of the crowd we hang out with. But let's assume it's true. Are they worried now because it seems that President Biden has been replaced by a more formidable opponent of Trump?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure Israelis here understand already the meaning. You know, to me, as one, as I told you, I was in America actually for 2 weeks. First week for the RNC, and then for Bibi's speech, and I saw the changes in my own eyes. So that was very dramatic. But I was there, and as far as I understand, people here wish that Trump will win, and don't get yet that they wish might not happen. We don't know, of course, what's going to happen. But to me, the political picture on your side has changed dramatically. I mean, it's quite clear now that the fight is open. So people here, I don't think people get that already. But in a few days, I understand, you know, when everyone will see the polls, if there won't be a change, that actually is like quite equal now. I mean, Harris and Trump. So people will understand, and my understanding, Nahum, is that if Kamala Harris will win, so I think we will not only miss Trump, we will even miss Obama, because if he will win, if he will win, to me, it looks now it's going to be much tougher, much, much tougher.
Were there a lot of kippot at the RNC?
There was even a WhatsApp group for Jews in Milwaukee, Jews in the RNC. but even more important, there was a lot of love to Israel and to the Jewish people. And there were those parents of the hostages who were talking in the prime, the most significant hours of the
prime
of
time.
The RNC, I think. New prime time, exactly. That's what they're looking for. So, a lot of Israeli flags. And every time the word Israel was mentioned, the crowd was clapping and so on. So you could definitely feel that. I can just hope that you will be the same in August in the DNC. But I'm not sure it's going to be the same.
Are you planning on being there?
Baruch Hashem, I will not come because my daughter is getting married, Nahum.
So,
Toda Rabba, yeah.
And are you still planning a September trip?
Yes, I do. Yeah. I'm going to be on September firstly in Washington, and then I will move to some places, yes.
And if people want you to speak at their gathering, how do they get in touch with you?
Thank you. The best is, I think, to email me, arik3000@gmail.com. And that's the best way, and I would love to come.
Arik3000, A-R-I-K, arik3000@gmail.com for Ariel Kahana. He'll be in the United States in September. Take advantage, everybody, and bring him to speak to your school, your group, your synagogue, wherever the case may be. Ariel, todarabah, continued.
Thank you for that.
A pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us. Ariel Kahana, senior military correspondent for Yisrael Hayom, reporter, journalist, commentator, someone who sheds light on a lot of things for us every time he's on right here at JM in the AM.